This word comes to you from Mountain Life Church in McCall, Idaho, where God is bringing wholeness to people, families, and communities through His Word, His Spirit, and authentic, loving relationships. It is truly our heart that this message touches you and brings wholeness to your families.
Well, why on Sunday morning is there so much into sound system? Which, by the way, good job on the new speakers, guys. They sound pretty good. Still fine-tuning. Why do we put so much into that? Why do we do four songs and not just two? And why do we sing that one? Because worship is a core value to us, because worship's not about us. We worship God because He deserves it, right? So we worship God however we can, with guitars, with drums, with clapping hands, with singing of our voices, with dancing, with shouting. And if someone broke out a flag, just don't whack anybody in the head. Do it nice and orderly somewhere, and it's all good. But one of the other core values is the prophetic, in that we are a prophetic people, which means what we do based on what God tells us. So rather than just an agenda and us just saying, hey, elders, what should we do this month? We actually seek God. God tells us the direction and gives us a plan. And on Sunday morning, we have a plan. Look, our services actually have an order on paper, but then we go, all right, Holy Spirit, what would you like to do? And as you know, some days, if you've been here a few times, you've probably known it's not always the same, because we try to be led by what the Spirit of God wants to do, because God is living and active. And today, He wants to do something in you, in us, that He didn't do yesterday, because that was yesterday. And it doesn't mean that God's changes, and now, you know, Jesus was the Lord yesterday, and now a fish is Lord tomorrow. It's not that kind of change, but it's like any good dynamic relationship is always thriving and changing, true? And you know, there are seasons in our lives, and there's times where God wants to do things differently. So we listen to that. So having said that, part of being a prophetic church as a core value means we put a lot of attention into hearing God. Now, in the next 2 months, I'm going to do a series on the Holy Spirit, and we are going to have a good time. It's going to be awesome. In fact, if you've never had a real biblical teaching on the Holy Spirit, and someone sat down and talked about what the gifts are and why as New Testament believers, we need, we want, we rely on the Holy Spirit, what the role of the Holy Spirit is in the believer, not just on Sunday morning, but out in the workplace. We're going to talk about all of that. But one of the things that we're going to talk about that's very misunderstood later on is the gifts as they operate in the church, and also the gifts as they operate outside, because there's a lot of confusion. And in fact, where there is no teaching and a whole lot of opinion, sometimes teaching tends to, our ways kind of try to form ideas that make us more comfortable. Like, for instance, if I see or hear something that's unusual, I'm going to try to find a scripture or find a way to rule that out so nobody does it again. Or try to make things more comfortable. Anyway, we're going to get in that in a couple weeks. But the reason why I'm saying this is that our heart is to let Holy Spirit be Holy Spirit. So, for instance, if God is moving on our hearts on Sunday morning during worship, and it's not time to quit, we're not quitting. Okay, if I'm preaching and God gives me a word to say, and it is 11:45. We're going to 11:45 and 30 seconds. And the elders brought out the sheep hook. But here's the other thing, is that we also believe that Holy Spirit does not just reside in the elders of the church, or in the special people, or in the people that were a pastor for 400 years. I don't know who that 40 hundred, and that's a good number, huh? You can tell I have a 10-year-old who we're still trying to work out terminology. But listen, the Holy Spirit is in the church. Raise your hand if you are the church. Okay, Holy Spirit's in you, which means God speaks to you too. Which means Holy Spirit wants to manifest in you. Now, here's the quick, I'm going to just quick and dirty. This is a precursor to the teaching you're going to get in about a month, about 4 weeks, is that when the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit, there's the fruit of the Spirit, which we need to work on much harder than we work on everything else, because if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, leave the gifts alone. Right? 1 Corinthians 13, if you don't have love, shut up and sit down. Don't even come up with your prophecy if you're not loving. If you're not in unity, and just, you know, have your way right there, and you can prophesy to your neighbor. Well, no, don't even do that. Prophesy in thumbs, speak in thumbs. Do something. But listen, the scripture is pretty clear about Holy Spirit, how Holy Spirit wants to work in us. We're going to talk about that. But one of the things I just want to share today is that our desire really is that Holy Spirit would manifest however he wants to, any given time, wherever, whenever, however he wants to. And if he uses you, especially if he uses you, we want to honor that and we want to respect that. And so if on a Sunday morning we're having a time of worship or there's a word and God is speaking to your heart and you know that it's not just for you. Now, by the way, if the word is slow down when you're coming to church, slow down when you're driving and obey the law of the land. Listen, that word is probably not for the church. It's probably for you. So you should probably just listen to it and have some good discernment about when, what word should be brought and what specifically is for you. Or, you know, about if the word is about, you know, someone's addiction to chocolate, you better ask really quick, do I have an addiction to chocolate? Because if it's for me, and receive it, learn from it, get on your face, repent, do whatever you need to do. But if your word is for the house, we want you to bring that, and we don't want to stifle it. We don't want to hold it back. Now, how can that be delivered? Here's how it can be delivered. Sometimes the word comes through a scripture. In fact, oftentimes when God is pushing me, pushing my prophecy button to come and to share with the body or to share with a person, usually it's through a scripture. I'll get a word, I'll take the scripture, and I'll read it, and then first comes the revelation, okay, or first comes the information, then comes the revelation, and then the application. It's what the Word of God says, is how it applies to you, and this is what it means right now in this moment. However, there are some times where it can come in an exhortation where you know someone would get up and just say, listen, God has just want you to know today that he loves you. 2 weeks ago there was a word and it was you have a testimony and you've been sitting on it and you've refused to share it. That's how that word came. And afterwards, three people came up and said, oh, Pastor, that was me. Like, wow, that was pretty good. It was probably more than those three, but those three were obedient. Sometimes prophecy operates in other ways. Now, again, I'm not going to get into the exhaustive teaching today, but prophecy can come through a word like that, and we see that throughout Scripture. Another way that prophecy can come is in the what we call the prophetic gifts, where it's not necessarily a prophet giving a prophecy, but it can be a word of knowledge. It's like someone getting up and saying, okay, you've been diagnosed with a liver condition, and there's really nothing that you can do about it, but God says he's got your number, he's taking care of you, and you're going to get healed. Okay, that's a word of knowledge with a prophetic response or a prophetic promise. Okay, that's what that is. Sometimes it can come in knowing something, or it can come in a word that basically just reveals something. It can come in terms of a confirmation. Okay. Another prophetic word that in our culture, in our day and age, oftentimes is shoved neatly, sort of neatly, not so neatly, under the carpet, and that is tongues and interpretation. Okay? Now listen, if the Holy Spirit can manifest today in the gift of administration, he can still manifest in the gift of tongues. Okay? We don't get to pick and choose how God operates. Holy Spirit's going to operate however, whenever he wants. Okay? Now, however, Pastor, but what about 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14? Because it's pretty clear that there's supposed to be order in the church. I absolutely agree with you. Which is why, see, when Paul addressed the gifts in the church, he repeatedly said, desire the gifts, especially desire prophecy. Why? Because prophecy edifies and it builds up, and it encourages. And for the new believer who walks in, or the person who's not a believer, and they come in, and all of a sudden, God reads their mail, and they go, okay, this God thing must be real. It builds up the church. Well, Paul says to desire the gifts, he said, but he also talks about order. He says, if three or four of you have a word, have some structure. Not if everyone just stands up and starts prophesying all at the same time, no one's going to understand what's being said. Okay? Another thing that he said, and this is the most misinterpreted, conveniently misinterpreted scripture, where Paul says, and if anyone has a tongue, there should be an interpretation. Here's why he said that. Because if I just get up and go, should have bought a Honda, but I bought a Kia. Who tied my bow tie? Gonna tie my shoe. If I just get up, okay, I'm not overly being silly. I am. And by the way, that was not tongues if you're new. But if I just get up and begin to speak something that's gibberish, who does it benefit? In fact, the scripture says that he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now, pause. Is it wrong to edify yourself? No. In fact, it is necessary. It is critical. Paul said, in fact, I desire that you all speak in tongues. He says, I speak in tongues more than all of you, and I desire that you do it more. Okay, now that doesn't all of a sudden say, now you just go crazy and lose order. Do you understand? I'm trying to bring some balance in Scripture, some order in Scripture, because we have a tendency to go, oh, well, he said not to. And then two verses later, oh, he said to. And then four or five verses later, and oh, then we need to, oh, but desire prophecy. Oh, whew, I can desire prophecy. Now I have to leave the other gifts out. Now I don't have to worry about praying for the sick and see them recover, because that requires a risk. Do you understand where I'm going with this today? Here's what I really want to convey is that the scripture makes it very clear in the specific context of the time, Paul was addressing a move of the Spirit on a bunch of human beings. Okay? And here's what happens. Anytime you get human beings in church, you have imperfection. I had someone say one time, well, I'm just looking for the perfect church. And I said, great, stay out of it because you'll kill it. Anytime you get humans in there, then there is that factor. But God is not afraid of you. And God is not afraid of things going crazy. God is just simply gives us clear instruction and direction on how to handle it. And so here's what Paul was saying. He said, listen, if four of you have a prophetic word, let two of you come up, and the others, you pray and you bring confirmation. Because probably what's happening is Holy Spirit is teaching you how to receive confirmation. Or Holy Spirit is putting an amen in you. So then after church, you can go out and say, God was speaking that exact same thing to me, Billy. And then it's like, and then we're all edified and we're built up, which is the purpose of prophecy, is to edify. Okay? Edification means to build up. Prophecy edifies, it builds up, and it encourages. Prophecy is not to come and to make all of your sins known to everybody. And if God is making your sins known in prophecy, it's to edify you, it's to build you up, it's to encourage you, which, by the way, not going to happen here. And I'll tell you why. Because 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, the whole, it is right smack dab in the middle of those three chapters is the love passage that says, what good is it to do this stuff if you don't have love? Why? Because God operates in love. Holy Spirit operates in love. And if God does do something that's uncomfortable for you, he's doing it out of love. It's like when you tell your 10-year-old child to stand up in front of the classroom, when an adult talks to them, to look them in the eye and be respectful and say, sir and man. It's really uncomfortable. Does that mean I'm being mean? It means I'm trying to teach him something out of love. And listen, there's times where Holy Spirit is trying to teach you something out of love, and he might make you do something that makes you a little uncomfortable. And listen, and that's quite all right. It's okay. So here's the other thing that I want to say with that. Because Paul was setting order in that, it was not a restriction saying, okay, shut it down. As soon as someone starts prophesying, crank up the volume, hurry so no one will hear it. That is not what Paul was trying to do. And Paul was certainly not saying, okay, we're going to line up all those tongue-talking folks, and we're going to make them go start their own church. So that those of us who want a little bit of order, we're going to do our own thing. That is not what was being said. All of this was being said for the sake of unity. You hear me? It was all being said for the sake of unity. It was being said to bring everybody together. Why? Disorder and chaos divides. Critical judgment divides. And see, what happens is we if we don't have clear instruction and clear order, we have division. And we either have division because someone's uncomfortable and they haven't been properly trained, or we have division because someone is looking at the vessel that's prophesying and they're critically judging them and they think, well, they're not a pastor. How can they prophesy? Okay, so let me just throw one other piece of this, and I'm going to kind of move on. Is everybody doing okay? This is a lot more than what I was planning to. There must have been a reason why I read through all this again this next week. But here's really what the heart is of elders of this house, is that we want God to just move. We want there to be freedom in this house. But there's a way that we need to do it. And here's one reason. So last Sunday we had a great word, and I shared afterwards that it was one of the first times I could actually hear an interpretation to a tongue. Because usually I sit right up front, the speakers are here, and your pastor is half deaf in one ear and can hardly hear out of the other. And so usually I can't really even hear what's going on. And so last week I heard it. It was a great word, and we kind of moved on. But there was something that you need to understand. If you're standing up here on the platform and you have earbuds in, you cannot hear what's happening out here. Okay? So having said that, well, Pastor, you're going to put some rules and regulations in place. Here's what I'm going to do. We want to have a free avenue for you to be able to come and share. Okay? So the way that we do that is, if you have a word, especially if it's a word for the house, we want the whole house to hear it. Okay, and so if you're just prophesying, or you're interpreting a tongue, and you're back, yeah, and you're out here somewhere, and only the people around you can hear it, what good is that? So we want it to be heard, and because of the sound, and because of how the dynamics are in this room, we just simply say, listen, if you have a word, bring it up. If it is a word from the house, come to every week we have an MC. It's either Billy, it's me, it's Joe, it's Grace. There's a handful of others that we're bringing into the mix of leading the services. You just come up to that person and you share it. And listen, I'm not saying don't speak in tongues where you're at. I'm not saying don't let Holy Spirit move where you're at. But if it is a word for the house, bring it for the house. Okay? And the other thing that does is that the poor worship leader who can't hear anything up here, or the deaf pastors, I'm talking about those of us that sit on this end of the front row, if we can't hear, we might miss it. Okay? And we don't want to miss that. Okay, now it sounds like I spent a lot of time talking about that one issue, but here's another side, and there's a reason why I'm saying this. In the scripture, God manifests himself through anybody he wanted to. And it was usually when man was judging the outside that God was breaking the rules and doing it through the wrong person. Okay? So if a prophet is wearing skinny jeans, don't miss the word because of what they were wearing. Okay? Now, let me throw another one at you. Now, so the young folks, you just amen to me. Now, let me just hit on, help out some of the older ones. So when I was young and in church, and first getting exposed to this crazy charismania. And listen, I did not grow up in this. So I was having to learn, and it was crazy. And nobody was clucking like chickens or barking like dogs. But at least in my mindset, they might as well have been, because it was just weird. It just seemed like it was out there. But it legitimately was the word of God. They loved people. They had unity. And actually, signs and wonders were really happening in the place. People were getting healed, and great stuff was happening. So here I was in this place, and I heard this word from 1 Corinthians 14. It says, desire the gifts, especially prophecy. And I went, I desire it. I want it. But then the very next thing that happened is a man in the church got up with a microphone, and he prophesied in King James. Yeah, the Lord would say, thou shalt hast forgettest the notest the. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of it, but that's what it sounded like to my uneducated brain. And immediately I went, okay, one of two things. I don't hear like that, so either they're not hearing God or I don't hear God. Now, because I'm insecure typically, I assumed I don't hear from God because it wasn't in King James, and when God speaks to me, it's not like that. So what happened was, is I then dismissed the gift. I dismissed what Holy Spirit was doing because it didn't sound like it did in someone else. One of the most freeing sermons I heard was about a donkey speaking for God. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, I speak to whom I speak, how I want to speak. Don't judge the outside. Don't judge the vessel. Judge the word. So listen, all of this to say, I'm sharing this with you, church, because we're about to enter into 21 days of prayer. And what happens when we align ourselves in prayer, prayer does specific things. First of all, prayer connects you with God. But when we do it together, following this book, and we're praying the same thing for 21 days, it connects us together as the body of Christ. And now we begin having some unity. It also aligns us spiritually. Because sometimes we need a little spiritual, right? We need to go see the spiritual chiropractor, and maybe we got a little out of place, and we need to get that aligned. It does that. The other thing that it does is it renews us from the inside out. But prayer also aligns us so that we can hear. When we're praying, and it's God's kind of prayer, not man's kind of just repeating blah, 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 God, it's gimme, gimme, gimme. But we're actually communicating with God. It actually aligns us with the heart of God so we can hear what the heart of God says. And when we do this, that's really when God starts speaking through his people. And like we saw at the beginning of this year, I fully expect that God will be speaking through you in these next 21 days. And my heart is that you, if God is speaking to you, for you, listen, if he's speaking to you for us, get up and speak and do not hold it back. Don't be quiet. Here's what happens. The enemy will come in and say, well, yeah, but the last time someone had a word, they got shut down. That's the enemy. We'll put it that way. Or, oh, well, you know, is anyone like standing in front of people and talking? Okay, good. For those three or four of you, the enemy probably doesn't assault you, but for all of the rest of us, the enemy will use any and every excuse and say, well, pastor doesn't respect prophecy, or it's the wrong person, or it's the wrong time, or if I get a word, I can't get up there because last time it happened, it was embarrassing for me and I wasn't even the person. The enemy will try to come and do that. So I'm saying all of this to say, as we're pressing in, listen to what the heart of God says. And when God says speak, speak. Okay, here's the last part of this, and then I'm going to actually get on to some other stuff. The last part of this is kind of back to judging the word. Okay, the Bible says that the word is judged, the prophets judge prophecy. So we have elders in this house. We have the elders that are in the position of elders, and then we have elders who are just elders in the kingdom, okay? And there's a handful of you. And listen, there is no shortage of people hearing the word and judging the word every week. And how do we judge the word? We judge it with the word. If someone gets up and says, Jesus was a goldfish, immediately we're going to shut that down because it does not align with the word of God. However, if someone gets up and it's consistent with scripture, we're going to amen. Okay. The other thing that we assess is the timing. Okay. We assess the timing. So, which is why we have folks and we have an MC leading the service. And if you have a word, you come to him and say, "Hey, I believe the Lord is saying," and he's going to go, "Yes, it's now." Or, "Ooh, good word." Okay, hang on, and let's just wait for the timing of the Lord to share that. That we are not controlling, we are not stifling, we are not hindering. We are just simply bringing everything the Holy Spirit is doing in this room at one time, and we're funneling into one spot so that we're all walking in unison. That's what we're doing. So if you have a tongue and interpretation and you're God is moving on you in your seat, bring it up and say, "I have a word and interpretation. This was the interpretation." And you share it, and then we'll say, "Okay, now is the time." Or usually, now is the time, okay? But if it's a little bit later, or maybe it's like, "Oh, you know, I know pastor is going to share that. You need to bring it up right at altar time." That's simply how we do it. Here's the other piece, is that if somebody walks in this room and they haven't had a bath in 16 weeks and they speak in some accent that irritates you, or maybe even better yet, you know who they are and they just are not like you. And their lifestyle is different than yours. Maybe they're behavior. Maybe they're a redneck and you're a city person, or maybe you're a redneck and they're a city person. The thing that kills the move of the Spirit and prophecy in the church, more than anything else, is critical judgment where the Holy Spirit resides. Listen, Holy Spirit is in every single one of you. If you want to hinder the Spirit, don't worry about what worship song is playing and if it was too loud, too soft, if pastor missed it, didn't miss it. Because what actually hinders the Spirit is our critical judgment. Is when if someone gets up and I think they're the wrong person prophesying, and immediately I make a judgment before I hear the word. Okay? And listen, there's a reason why I'm sharing this, church, is that we're moving into 21 days of prayer for a very specific reason. Because we've been praying, this has been the theme all year since the beginning of the year, and over the summertime, everyone gets scattered, and we're all in a different place, and we get disjointed and disunified. And listen, there's some things that God is moving us to do as a church where we have to be in step. And so, we're entering into this time of prayer, but I've spent almost all of my preaching time this morning to talk about the specific issue, because we also need to be in step in this matter as well. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers. Sometimes church is messy. In fact, most of the time, church is messy. And when Holy Spirit moves, it's awesome and it's wonderful, and we want to leave lots of room for that. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we are not being the bottleneck. We want to make sure that we're not hindering what God wants to do. And sometimes we can do it by not having enough order, and other times we can do it by having too much order and trying to be in control. Let me just say this last thing. Let Holy Spirit be Holy Spirit in your life. If you need some more teaching, talk to your life group leader. Don't have a life group leader? Here's a good cue. You need to be in a life group, because this is where that kind of stuff gets handled. Have a question, come talk to a pastor, talk to an elder. But what we really want to make sure, though, more than anything else, is I want to make sure that you walk out the fullness of Christ in your life. And on Sunday morning, we celebrate, and it's a place where I want new people to be able to come in and unbelievers to come in and see the real deal and walk out changed forever. But even more so than that, listen, if you begin to move in the gifts of the Spirit, any of them, it is not for the church service alone. This is our safe place to practice. Now, some of you go, oh, Pastor, did you really say practice? Yeah, because this is a safe place. Because you're off base, I'm going to lovingly bring you back on. And if you come humbly and you're just wanting what Holy Spirit is and not your own platform, you're going to be like, thank you for saving me from being a false prophet. not really. It's not that extreme. But thank you for saving me from being off base, Pastor. Or if it's right on, I'm going to encourage you and fan that flame and get you to step out. And yes, as I often say to many people around me, is my job as a pastor is to be, I am the eternal fanny kicker. It is my job to kick you in the fanny, to get you out of the boat, to get you to go. And in this season, I want you to go. And I just want to remove all of the hindrances and everything that will hold you back. Okay, so 20 days of prayer, it starts tomorrow. We have more books on order. Unfortunately, we only have about 20. So if you have your book from January and your dog didn't eat it or you didn't line the cat box with it, we'd like you to break it out. We're going to start with day one tomorrow. If by chance you weren't here in January and you didn't get it, we have them out in the lobby and we have a few more here. And if we run out of those, we will not break copyright laws, but we'll photocopy the first week as long as you agree to be sure to get the actual book and then throw away your photocopy when we do that. So there is enough, but this book, if you're not familiar with it, is just basically kind of a prayer guide devotional that will just kind of get us in a similar direction over the next 20 days, and then 21 days. And then the teaching and preaching is along the lines with it. Pastor Jonathan Elena coming next week is right in time for this. Our women's conference actually is right in time for this. And by the way, ladies, if you are a female, you should be signed up for this conference. If you're a male, you're not, and that's the only that's the only way I'm going to differentiate. Women, sign up. Men, don't, okay? Who should go? Okay, got it. The other thing is that the author of this book, Bob Sorge, is going to be with us here ministering in December. And so it's going to be an awesome time. God is leading us into a season where I believe God is positioning us for some amazing things. Okay, it's 11:39. Are you ready? Everybody doing okay?
That was awesome.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes I just got to lead, right? Okay. Thank you for hanging with me. I love you back. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Go ahead and flip your Bibles there, and I'm going to just wrap up our time with this today. There's something I specifically want to appeal to as we move into this season. By the way, as you're turning there, this did not start yesterday. Okay? God has been moving on my heart for a really, really, really long time in this particular area. Let me just see a show of hands. How many of you feel like you could pray more? Okay. Now, let me just set you free from something. We all can pray more. Husbands and wives, how many of you could communicate better? Okay, we all, if you didn't raise your hand, you're teaching that next marriage class. So hand up or teach. Okay, sorry. but here's the thing. The enemy speaks in not enoughs. You don't pray enough, you don't read enough, you don't come to church enough, you don't serve enough, you don't give enough, you don't, listen, let me just break that off of you right now in Jesus' name. This is not a not enough season. This is I can be closer season. I can press in to the body of Christ better. I can do relationship better. I can do life group better. I can teach better. I can pray better. Not more, not like I need to do more. It's I can always go from glory to glory. In fact, Scripture says that the Spirit is taking us from glory to glory, from place to place, from improvement to improvement. Why? Because we all have a ways to go to get there, right? Even if you've been serving God for 50 years, God still has more good or better stuff for you. In fact, the Scripture even says it. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask and even think, which means if you think that you've already got it all lined out and God's done everything he's going to do, he's got more. And the moment you think you figured it out, he's going to unfigure it out for you, and you're going around that mountain one more time. So we can all get closer. So this season really is about us getting closer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. That just made all of us all of a sudden feel like we don't do it enough, right? Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I'm going to just reiterate what I said a minute ago. Prayer aligns us. Prayer connects us to God and each other. And prayer partners us. And these are really the three things that God is moving us into in this season, is that we're getting some spiritual chiropractic work, but we're also getting connected. It is time, church, for us. Jesus prayed, and he said, Father, I pray that they would be one as you and I are one. Jesus also said in John 15:5, if I'm the branch, you are the vine, I'm the branches. Oh, wait, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Maybe I should go back and read it instead of just quote it. If you're in me and I'm in you, you'll bear much fruit. See, there's this him and you and him thing that life and busyness and just religious checking it off the box and showing up at church but not really having a relationship with God. Or how many of you are glad summer's over just because the busyness starts to wane? Well, not only is it busy in work, but it just gets busy where it's just hard to stay connected with God and with people. And so, listen, part of this prayer season is bringing us back into connection as well. Okay, 1 John 5:14. And here's what I want to kick this whole thing off with. 1 John 5:14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. Everybody say confidence. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked for. Here's what I want to just send you out with today. Is that so many of us get caught up in life and we hear someone like Jodell pray or Ed pray or someone else that just happens to, you know, have a lifetime in church and they can openly pray a lot. And we hear that and now we compare ourselves amongst ourselves. And we go, oh, well, I just can't pray like that. So God probably doesn't listen to me the same way. Or my prayers don't Since Scripture says the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous avail much. Of who? The righteous. Who's the righteous? Oh, okay, not me. It's the perfect people. Actually, if you read your whole Bible, the righteous are the followers of Christ. Right? If Jesus is your Lord and Savior and Holy Spirit is inside of you, you are the righteous. So the effectual, fervent prayers of who? Of you avail much. What's effectual? It means effective. Fervent, that word fervent, the Greek word, actually means to boil over. In other words, what's on the inside can't stay there. It comes out. Listen, is boiling over neat and tidy? Have you ever like boiled pasta and it just over the top? Was that neat and tidy? It's a mess. And listen, we have this mindset that our prayer needs to be all, our Father who art in heaven. It's all neat and just, I don't find anybody in Scripture that prays neat and orderly. In fact, there's some pretty messy prayer in Scripture. And I want to send you away with this, is that God's not afraid of your messy prayer. In fact, you should pray confident prayer. It says this is the confidence that we have in that He hears us. So my whole title for today is that God hears, and you need to be confident and stop worrying about what it looks like. Well, what if it doesn't look like Jodell? It won't. It's taken him a lifetime to get that beautiful. And to just be like that. Well, what if I don't have it all together like Ed? Listen, you won't, because Ed doesn't even think he has it all together. God just wants you to press in. So here's my 27 points. God hears. God cares. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon Him, for He cares for you. God actually cares what you have to say. God answers, and I can throw all of these at you. I will in the coming weeks. Scripture time and time again says God will listen when you pray. In fact, Jesus Himself said, anything you ask, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. I want a Porsche. Okay, we need to probably study that a little bit more. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. It is not just the cycle and the planning of Mountain Life Church that we are in a year of prayer and we're entering into another 21 days. We're simply doing this out of obedience because God is drawing you near. And it's not just you because you're the lesser spiritual. Listen, this is happening in the eldership. We had our first elders meeting of our new format that is the last format probably this last week, where God gave me a word last summer and He said, shut up until you've prayed and listened. So from now on, our meetings are not talking, our meetings are prayer. And then we listen, and then if there's something to say, we say it. And otherwise, we just give ourselves to prayer. Why is that important? Listen, because God wants us to draw into Him to where we don't do stuff without Him. And in our Christianese, we say, well, I don't do stuff without God. I ask Him for all the big stuff. Really? Did you ask Him about this day? Jesus taught prayer, and He said a couple things. He started off with Our Father, which again, prayer is not some petition to some far-off God. It's relational. It starts with Father. Secondly, hallowed be thy name. It's putting God in the right place and humbling ourselves before God. And then it says, give us this day. This day. See, God is drawing us to a place where we actually pray without ceasing. Oh, that's going to be really awkward when I'm talking to my wife and praying to God at the same time. That's not what it's saying. Praying without ceasing means to be in continual communion, continual communication with the Father. Father, what do you want to do today? Where should we go? How should we handle this? Who should I talk to today? What do you want to do? See, God is drawing his church, his people, to a place where prayer no longer is an activity or a program. Prayer is who we are. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Well, but Pastor, that's Old Testament. Yeah, the New Testament says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the house of God. Billy, why don't you come on up? We're going to pray and let you go. See, I was obedient. We went 4 minutes over. Hear my heart today. And if you're a guest with us this morning, God bless you for sitting through that whole thing. And I hope that you come back next time, because it's not always like this. But here's what my heart is. Holy Spirit moves in a unified church. In the book of Acts, God told his people, Jesus told them to go wait. He said, go wait. So they were waiting, and a chapter later, you find out that they had been together for days praying, seeking God, and they were together in one place. They were together. And then at the end of that chapter, after Holy Spirit comes and does some amazing, amazing stuff, that chapter is sandwiched with them being together, and at the end, it says they were together, and they had all things in common, and they met daily, and they prayed together, and they studied the Word together. Did you hear together? If you want Holy Spirit to move like you've never seen before in your life, it comes from pressing in together. It's about unity. And our job individually is to tear down everything that opposes the Word of God, the will of God, and the unity of the body of Christ. Why? Because our unity is the will of God. Jesus prayed it. Father, I pray that they would be one as you and I are one. So as you leave this week, I want you to really have an open heart. I want you to press in. But then also next week when we're together and you hear a great prophetic word for your life from skinny jeans, don't look at the jeans. Don't look at the jeans. Or if it has an accent. Or if it's old school Pentecostal, don't get hung up on the style. Listen to the word. Listen, last week we heard a word from God, and it just might have been in a little different enunciation than what you're used to. I think it's awesome. I wish I could do it, but you would laugh at me just like you did earlier. So I'm going to prophesy the way God speaks through me. And if it's any consolation at all, God can use an ass, because he did, and he still does.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you would like to receive prayer or get in contact with any of our ministries or leaders, contact our church office at 208-634-3037. Have a great and blessed day.